Hello and welcome to episode, well, what do we say? We could say Jordan Russell.
Well, we could say that. We could even say the great man, Big Nick.
Oh, who's, now anybody familiar with the Two Tones podcast will know that a picture of the great man dominates the room in which we record this weekly podcast. So it would be remiss of us not to acknowledge that great man when we talk of two Guernseys at the Carlton Football Club. Let's talk about his successor, though, 1P.
Paddy. Wow.
Oh,
episode Paddy.
Exactly. We will be talking about the JLT game in Tasmania the other night, and we will be talking about that. You better believe we'll be talking about that. This is The Two Tones. Tony DeBolfo, welcome.
Greetings, Tony.
I'm Tony Moclair. Thanks for your company. Now, before we get into the JLT Blues v Hawks game, the Women's League, Tone, Carlton versus Melbourne. What did you make of that?
Look, it's been a tough old year, it has to be said, for Damien Keeping and his charges, Tone, must be said. And look, it wasn't the greatest of starts against Melbourne. Melbourne obviously got away to a flyer, and Carlton, pretty much from that moment on, were playing catch-up. To the credit of the girls, they found a little bit in the second half and rallied, as a, you know, as good teams should. Fair to say the damage was already done, but I know, Tony, during the week there was a season launch for the club, and the question was put to Coach Keeping by Jason Richardson, the MC of the night, have you kicked a black cat this year? That was the operative question, because, yes, poor old Damien's, you know, been in the wars, he's been in hospital battling a blood disorder, he's over that. And while he's getting through that predicament, his captain, you know, Brianna Davey, goes over with a serious knee injury. Yeah. So it's, I suppose, from round two onwards, the girls have been playing catch-up. It's been a particularly difficult year. Let's hope they can finish off with a win against the Dockers this week. It has been a tough year, to say the least.
Well, look, the measure of any team is how it recovers from a year like that. And, you know, we know the competition will just go from strength to strength. Everyone's, I guess, in the, you know, in the learning phase, if you like.
Very true.
But and the bodies are getting used to the rigours of football at the highest level.
That's a point, Tony. And it's a most important point that should be raised at this juncture, that the women, in my opinion, may have saved the Carlton ground, because if the AFL sees Carlton as the hub of AFLW, there's every chance that the league will invest in the facilities of the ground, and it would be magnificent to see, you know, improvements of the venue, a restoration of the Gardner Stand would be magnificent, and basically a living, breathing Princess Park, which everyone wants to see.
Yep.
So all power to Damien and the girls. Yes, it's been a tough year on the field, but when you look at it in totality, it's just a magnificent set of circumstances that Carlton can boast a women's team running out AFLW, and they are the game changers, no two ways about it.
Yep, the momentum is definitely with that league at the moment. Just before we move on to reviewing the Blues and the Hawks, Tony, I want to throw the spotlight onto Tiana Cochran. She debuted. She is the great niece of who?
Well, the great niece of former number eight, the great Trevor Keogh, one of the all-time great Carlton players. You know, a member of that magnificent contingent of players, ex-Bendigo. You think of, you know, Trevor Keogh, Jeff Southby, Rod Ashman. You know, later on in the piece you had, you know, Greg Williams, Peter Dean. How good has Bendigo been to the Carlton Football Club, you know, when you think about it that way? And so Tiana, yeah, fair to say, has great bloodlines, and I'm sure great Uncle Trevor would have been proud to see her running out for the Old Dark Navy Blues, you know, last week. It's a great family story, and it's just magnificent to see the name continue on, you know, within the ranks of the Carlton Football Club. Trevor was a fine player for the Carlton Football Club over many years. Let's hope Tiana can emulate that and be a great count player in her own right.
Amen to that. Well, she debuted with 3 tackles, 6 disposals. We look forward to seeing more of her next year. And as you said, Tone, next week's game against the Dockers, the Inns, Brazil, Arnell and Grieve, and the outs are Carrick, Cochrane, Attard. They've all been omitted.
Yes.
So we will give you a review of that game next week.
Yes, and all power to the girls. Great to see Lauren Arnell, last year's captain, back in the team. Offers the girls, you know, leadership and experience there, and all power to her. As I said earlier, Tony, let's hope we can finish off with a substantial performance against the Fremantle team in WA.
Well, now, I guess the mirror image, in more ways than one, is the women's team, their misfortune has not been emulated by the men's team. Carlton are 2-2 in the JLT series. That's a good place to be, but, you know, let's not get too excited about being March champions. Nonetheless.
You are tempering it, Tony, but I can see the excitement in your visage as I look at it across the way there. It was a great performance. Again, like much the same as the St Kilda game, a most heartening showing by the players. Perhaps a little bit different set of circumstances. So I made a few notes watching the game, Tone. There's so many things to like about the way the players went about it, as they did against St Kilda. But in the Hawthorn game, you know, I was particularly impressed by the way the team settled, having lost Matt Cruiser early in proceedings and then having to absorb Hawthorn's early intensity. You know, Hawthorn was really in Carlton's face early, and the defence was under enormous siege, but it held firm. I know Hawthorn probably will rue a lot of lost opportunities. However, the Carlton defence held sway. You think of the performance of Jakob Witt in his comeback game, how well he interacted with Jones and Caleb Marchbank, the other two tall forwards. The other thing that caught my eye, Tone, was the performance of Samo Petrevsky Seaton.
Oh, yes.
His impact after half-time when he got the call up and first game back, what a impressive player he is.
I love watching him play.
You like watching him play?
Yeah.
I think the overall confidence that the team would have gained from winning that game, you know, particularly, you know, when the heat was on towards the finish, I think the players will gain much from the experience. And I did like the performances of Cunningham, or it looks like he's shaping up as Sam Doherty's replacement across halfback.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, but he's up to it.
That's right. And the excitement of Jared Pickett.
Oh my God!
Watching that guy
get the ball. Oh my God!
And take them on. You know, we
wow.
It is wow, isn't it?
Yeah.
The wow factor is there. And I mean, it's not so long ago, you know, we saw Chris Yaron doing that, and how magnificent it was, exhilarating it was to see him in possession of the ball and look around, weigh it up, and make that quick conclusion. Oh yes, I can run you off.
Yeah.
I'll just take.
Yeah.
Well, you see Pickett do that now, just size up the options. And I think it's great that players like Jared Pickett, with flair and finesse, are given license to do that by the coach. And I just think that the players, to a man, will gain so much confidence out of that performance, as they did with St Kilda. And they should take that into the Richmond game. This is the ultimate test, isn't it? The reigning premiers, round one to launch the season.
Can I tell you something that gratified me no end, Tone?
What was that?
We know that the number 25 is almost sacred at this football club, and it is not bestowed lightly. Fisher's game. Those two early goals were magnificent.
Well, they were. They were probably to keep us in the game at that stage. I mean, we were under siege, and I think the ball probably only got down there twice, and Fisher, as you said, maximised the opportunities that came his way both times.
He sharked one beautifully.
Oh, yeah. He was superb down there, particularly early. And what was even more heartening about it all was that we kicked the ton.
Yes.
Now, that's the first time that's happened, I think, since halfway through 2016, if memory serves. They may have done it against St Kilda in round 11 that year. So it's been a long time between drinks. But I think that's the other thing we gleaned from it, that suddenly there are avenues to attack that perhaps weren't there, you know, 6 months ago.
Everything I've read, Tone, about that, about, you know, the magic three figures. I mean, anybody who's read anything about Carlton's wins last year would have said yes, but you know, Carlton don't have the forward line that can kick big enough scores, all that sort of stuff. What difference has David Teague made to, well, let's say, the forward setup?
Well, I think you have to acknowledge his input. I mean, he's only been over here a short time, but again, obviously, you know, they identified Teague as someone that could really contribute to the cause, perhaps up front for the Carlton team. And it seems that the players, you know, understand their responsibilities. You know, that we've got a lot of players from up the ground pushing into the forward line. They're probably all conscious that, you know, they have to contribute on the scoreboard. So I think we're just, you know, getting more avenues to attack, as I said earlier, and the players realise that winning scores are going to come from the collective input of all. You know, and you don't have any particular reliance on any one player. You'd love to think that players like, you know, Fisher, as you've said, Cripps, Pickett, Murphy, all these fellows are good for a goal a game.
Cripps is essentially the, I don't know, I don't want to overstate things here, but he's incredibly important. He's please watch the highlight reel of the game, because if you didn't watch it yourself, because
very true.
What he brings is astonishing for such a young player.
Yes, he's got a real presence about him, you know, particularly where the heat is around the packs. But there's an unsung hero here too already, and that's Kennedy, because I think Kennedy, with his size and bulk, is also proving a most capable backup to Cripps, and probably a Lord Protector to Murphy as well. So I think we just got a bit more grunt around the ball.
Yes.
I love the way Kennedy puts his head over it, and he's a big body that will hurt. So I do like the resolve that exists amongst those players, you know, where the action is, where the heat is. And I think that's been a canny pick-up by Mr. Silvani and his cohorts in recruiting.
We literally don't have enough time to detail all the canny pickups by that man.
I'm getting carried away.
Now, it would be remiss of us, Tone, if we didn't throw the spotlight on Levi Casbolt's effort in the ruck, which was amazing. We know how important Matthew Cruiser is, and there were collective hearts in mouths when he went down. He rolled the ankle. He's going to be okay for round one, which of course is great news for all of us. But when he went down 7 minutes into the game, you know, you would have been forgiven for thinking that, you know, our hopes were dim. But Casbolt really stepped up.
Well, he did indeed, Tony. It's a great call. And I actually had a conversation with Levi this week, and I was asking about his body size. You know, I said, have you trimmed down? And he said, no. He said, must weight is still the same. He said, but maybe he's sporting weight in different areas of his body. His body shape looks to have changed to me, and he certainly seems to be more agile than any stage of his career. He's, what is he, 27 now? And he's nearing 100 games. So you would have to think that, you know, he's nearing the peak of his powers.
Yeah.
Sav Rocker has without doubt helped his cause in terms of his kicking for goal. I think Jason Dunstall again made the point in the coverage of that game how better his approach looked at the point of delivery, you know, point of contact. So he's obviously worked really, really hard on all aspects of his game. And there's a little story, Tone, that I might like to share. Well, I'd like to share with the listeners that I noted this on the Carlton website this week, that Levi, 94 games, if and when he gets the ton, hopefully when rather than if, he completes a unique milestone at the club, because he's not only the first player to get his name on the number 41 locker by virtue of playing 100 games, he completes a sequence. Every number from 1 to 45 at Carlton, other than 41, carries a name of at least one 100-game player. So numbers were brought in 1911, and there's been something like 158 Carlton players before who have got their names on the lockers by virtue of playing 100 games.
Yeah.
Levi completes a sequence. His 100th game will mean that every number on those lockers, 1 to 45, carries at least the name of one 100-game player. So it's taken 158 players and 106 years to do it, but Levi's on the cusp of creating history, and all power to him.
Well, that'll be a great day when it happens. We just have to believe it will. And based on current form, we'd love to see the 150 come up as well.
We would indeed.
Now, just as far as previewing next week, there's no game for the JLT, obviously, this weekend, Tone, but Carlton takes on Richmond next Thursday at the G. Don't drive.
Is that so? You wouldn't have thought. No. Reading the newspapers. I know Richmond's bloke.
Well, yes. They are unveiling the flag, of course. Bashahuli won't be playing.
No, I think Rioli's missing also.
Yeah.
So maybe one other that's unavailable. I think Prestia might be in a bit of doubt. So, well, what an opportunity for the team, you know, to take on the reigning premiers on their own dunghill. Although, you know, the MCG hasn't been completely unfamiliar to Carlton teams over the year.
No, when's the last time we beat them? That's a question without notice.
It might have been that final, was it?
When Juddy tore them a new one in the third quarter.
It might have been that final, I think, when CJ barreled that one. But yeah. It's been a long time, but what an opportunity for the Carlton players. You said it earlier, you know, we've gone through the two JLT games. Those were the dress rehearsals. This is the real thing. How will this young Carlton team under Brendan Bolton stand up in the heat? Well, we'll find out on Thursday week, won't we?
It's going to be very exciting. There's going to be a lot of people there, obviously. You would have to say a sellout. Richmond will be there in force, as I said, round one. They unveiled their premiership pennant or the flag. What is it exactly?
It's a pennant.
Pennant. Their first in 37 years. Would be great to spoil that party because there's a few things glad in my heart than a bitching, moaning, complaining Richmond supporter.
Do you know at all, Tony, at what time they're unfurling the flag? I must synchronise my watch to ensure I'm there a minute after it happens.
Yeah, well, we just don't want to hear that song at the end of the game. Just to backtrack slightly, Tone, Sam Doherty, who was interviewed by Sam McClure on SEN. Sam McClure, whose sister is a former producer of the Two Tones.
She is a great girl.
Yep. He interviewed Sam Doherty, who's Sam was given a couple of weeks off to go over to the States and have a, you know, he saw a sports scientist in Boston. Yes. And he talked about, you know, his eye on the future, I guess. He wants to get into coaching, but he said the rehab is coming along well. He's gone for his first run so far, but he's not going to be playing. I don't come with any miraculous cures or anything. He's not going to be playing this year, sadly.
I'm disappointed. I thought you would have come with the elixir or something. He hasn't ruled it out.
Well, yeah, forget going to the States. Go to Lourdes in France and let the healing waters work their miracles.
Yeah. I could do with a litre of holy water myself, Tony, at the moment. But, he hasn't ruled out the prospect of coming back. It would be a remarkable comeback if he didn't manage to do that. But as you said, he's resumed running, which seems to be terribly early, doesn't it? It doesn't seem, like yesterday that he went over at the back of your number one oval. So he's obviously progressing nicely, and I think, you know, with his loss, I think what has been heartening is to see, you know, the gaping pile be filled.
Yeah.
You know, like Cunningham really seems to be progressing in that role, and as much as we'd love seeing Doherty there, the reality is he won't be. And yet we seem to have found a player or two that can capably slot in and pick up where the Doc left off.
So yes.
That's the plan anyway.
We will be back next week previewing the round one clash. You'll watch this space. Look, whatever happens, we know that this team now is just, it will do its level best. It will give a great account of itself, and it will be in there trying for four quarters, and you can't ask any more than that as a supporter. It's going to be a great game no matter what happens. A Carlton win, of course, is going to send us all ballistic with joy. Thank you for that, Tone. Thank you to our producer, Lucy, and we'll catch you next week on the Two Tones.